And I think we'll just read that portion of scripture again, just to let it filter in us as we come to God's word again. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, in many places in the Bible, the Christian life is pictured as a journey moving from a particular point to an end point. And if you take Psalms 22, 23 and 24 together, they form landmarks or signposts on that journey. Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross. It looks ahead to the future and to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the Crown. It looks ahead to the future and pictures Jesus reigning in splendour in heaven with his own saints. Sandwiched in between those two psalms, the Psalm of the Cross and the Psalm of the Crown, is Psalm 23, and you could say it was the Psalm of the Crook, the shepherd's crook. Christians are saved by the cross, recorded in Psalm 22. That's at the first coming of Jesus into the world. This is the beginning of our Christian walk, when we accept what Jesus has done for us at the cross. We have him as Lord and Saviour. As Christians, we also look forward to his second coming, when he will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in victory, and we will be with him forever. Psalm 24 pictures that enthronement of Jesus, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the joy that the Lord's people can look forward to. So, in a sense, Psalm 22 is the beginning of the journey when we accept Christ, our sins are forgiven. Psalm 24 is not the end of the journey, it's the continuing of the journey in heaven forever and ever. But what about the in-between time? Between us first believing in Jesus and us being with the Lord forever in heaven, what about this in-between time? Well, Psalm 23 is the psalm for this time. The Lord leads us and guides us through, as a shepherd, through this life. We are to follow him. We are to look to him to meet our every need. David is the author of this psalm, as a little subscript tells us. Now, we don't know what events were going on in David's life as he penned this psalm, when he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." But you know something, I'm quite glad that we don't know what was going on in David's life, because the truth is that it doesn't matter what is going on in our life, whether it's hard times, difficult times, joyous, celebratory times, it's always true that the Lord is my shepherd. It's always true that no matter what we are going through, we need the Lord just as much in the good times as in the bad. The Lord is my shepherd. So whenever we come to this psalm, it's true that the Lord is our shepherd. So whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, whether you're joyful, whether you're celebrating, whether you're a bit down in the dumps, whether you're grieving, whether you're mourning, whether you're struggling, whatever it is, there are truths for us in this psalm to bolster us, to encourage us, and to spur us on. in our Christian walks. In Psalm 23, we have the Lord as our shepherd. That is the overarching theme of the psalm. That's the big picture. And all of the verses, what they do is they add like brush strokes to that big picture to give us a different angle, as it were, on what it means that the Lord is our shepherd. David is holding up that truth, the Lord is our shepherd, and he almost turns it around in the different verses to let us see just what that means for us as the Lord's people. A good summary of Psalm 23 might be, God is more than enough. God is more than enough for his people. So who is the Lord that's more than enough for his people? Well, in verse 1, we see that he is the Lord. It's capitalized. So as we've been seeing before, this is God's promise-keeping name. When that word is capitalized, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. God was giving Moses a task that was too big for Moses to accomplish on his own, so that Moses would trust and depend on God. Lord literally means, I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. He is not created. He owes his existence to no one or no thing. God exists because he exists. He had always been there long before he created anything, and eternally after heaven and earth pass away, he will be there. As humans, we are born, we need a father, we need a mother, but God has no father. He has no mother. He is the supreme father of all. I am that I am also tells us that God is self-sufficient. That means that he needs absolutely nothing from anybody. When we are hungry, we need food. When we are cold, we need a jumper. When we are unwell, we need medicine. We need to go outside of ourselves to meet our own needs. We can't meet our own needs in and of ourselves. God, though, needs nothing outside of himself. In himself, he has everything he needs. He always has had those things, and he always will have those things. Why is that such a comfort? Is that just some random truths about God? Well, no, because all this means that God is unchangeable. We change regularly. We grow, we learn new things. Our mood can change as well very easily at the slight of things. Our lives involve change. We've got a new baby in the manse, and he's just over 3 weeks old now, and even now we're seeing changes in him. As he grows, we can see him getting longer, we can see him eating more food, we can see him having more hair. There's just so many changes, and that's just a small picture of human life and life on this world. We change, but not so with God. He is unchangeable, and that's a marvellous truth for us. That's a marvellous truth for God's people, because since God never changes, he is the most consistent and constant thing possible. God is the most consistent and constant thing in your life and in mine. That's a wonderful thing, that when we come to God, we don't have to worry how we're going to find him. Are we going to find him up today or down today? Are we going to find him a God who wants to keep his promises today, or a God who's not going to keep them today? Are we going to find him wrathful today or gracious today? No, we come to a God who is unchanging. We come to a God who is our Father. Yes, he's the Lord. Yes, he's holy and he's just and he's perfect. He cannot look on sin. Absolutely. He is loving, he is kind, he is merciful. All of these things are in God. And when we go to him, we find in him a 24/7 shepherd who is always there. Every time we come to God, we find him the same. And there is such a comfort in that, is there not? That he never changes, even in the current predicament that we find ourselves in. there's change every day. There's now a phased lockdown, which will hopefully start easing things, but there's still many changes and many uncertainties and unknowns. We get that in life. Life is uncertain. Life is unknown. But God isn't. He is sure. He is certain. And he is an anchor for us who are being tossed to and fro on the winds and waves of change. He is the one constant. I love the hymn that says, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Jesus is the rock. We can cling to him. We can go to him for safety. Psalm 40 calls him the solid ground where we can place our feet upon. When all other ground seems sinking sand, he is there. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Now, it's perhaps very easy to answer yes to that, as even as Christians. Here's a test, though. Here's a test. The last time that you really needed help for something, whatever it was, something big, something small, the last time you really needed help, where did you go? Or to who did you go to? When the bad news comes in, the unexpected phone call, the letter, the Facebook post that annoys you, where did you go? So often, we exhaust every other option before we will pray or go to God. The thing or person that you go to first, that I go to first, that is our shepherd. That is the one that we are treating as our shepherd. Surely we know that God is our shepherd. It's so basic to our Christian beliefs. But do we treat God as our shepherd? You see, all these other things we can go to are helps to us, other people, other sources of help. But God is the one who can be depended upon, who can be trusted, who has the power behind him to deal with the problem that we find ourselves in, to bear us up, to spur us on, to get us to that end place that we need to be. He alone is more than enough for his people. So who is the Lord that's more than enough for his people? Well, in verse 1, we see that he is the Lord who provides. The Lord who provides. I'm sure you know that the term for that is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who provides. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Now here, want has the older meaning of being in want. It doesn't mean that the Lord will give us everything that we want, but the Lord will give us everything that we need, the things that we are in want of. A want is something that we long for, but isn't a necessity of life, but a need is something that is of necessity to life. Brothers and sisters, who better to have looking after our needs than the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God who uses his limitless resources to care for us as his children who know and love him? The Lord can be likened to a shepherd because in the person of his son Jesus, he became a man, he became a shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, the one who came to lead and guide the flock in green pastures and quiet waters. Outside of him, you can't have this. No ultimate rest or satisfaction for your soul. David could say that God was his shepherd because God had called David to follow him. And Jesus Christ calls us today to follow him. Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? Jesus has laid down his life that his sheep can have a full and abundant life, set free from sin and for worshipping him. It's a life that is a close walk with Jesus, walking side by side with him in those green pastures and even into the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus goes there with us too. Do you notice as well that this verse is in the present tense? It's not in the past. The Lord was my shepherd. It's not in the future. The Lord will be my shepherd. Although these are true for the Christian. But the Lord is my shepherd. And that's the wonderful thing. Any need that we have is in the here and in the now. Our needs are not in the past. We might have needs in the future, but we can't imagine what they'll be. Our need is in the here and in the now. And that's where God promises to be our shepherd. He's such an amazing God. He really is. God says, I am the eternal now. I am in the now. I am with you now, in the now. So he is with us always in our need, our hearts, our struggles. He provides everything that we would need. I'm sure you know of the self-service car washes where you put your money in and you can wash your own car. Well, the other course is to take it to a car valet company and they'll wash it all for you. You can sit in your car or sit in the waiting room. It gets a full clean. They may even do added extras like check your air pressure and your tyres and do all these things for you. You get a full service. Well, that's the same with God. He is a full service God. So often our trouble is that we try and self-service. We try and do it all ourselves. We carry our own worries on our backs. And these rob us of our peace and joy. But we can take them to God, and God wants us to take them to him. I often hear people say, God will never give you anything more than you can handle. Have you heard people say that? God will never give you anything more than you can handle. Well, that is utter rubbish. Utter rubbish. God will give us more than we can handle. Why? So that we go to him. If we could handle everything that was put upon us, we wouldn't need him. We would be going our own merry way, trying to self-service. God is not that kind of God. Sometimes he gives us jobs that are way above us. Think of Moses. Moses thought, I can't do this. He struggled time over again. God helped him. There's many other examples in the Bible. God does give us more than we can handle so that we will get to the end of ourselves and go to him. And go to him. That is a lesson that God needs to teach us day and daily. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. You know, I'm very convicted about a story I read recently. The story is told of a poor lady who was sitting at home. She hardly had 2 pennies to rub together, literally. She was preparing a dinner of bread and water. And she said before eating it, Lord, this is wonderful. I have this, and I have you as well. I have this, and I have you as well. Could we say the same? Could we say the same? No matter the circumstances, I have you. I have you, Lord, and that's everything I need. This is what it means for God to be a shepherd. He is more than enough for us. So who is the God who's more than enough for his people? Well, in verse 2, we also see that he is our peace. He is the God who makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside quiet waters. These are beautiful images of peace. And the amazing thing is that we can never exhaust those green meadows or quiet, still waters. Often we're so busy, even in the church, that we find little time to listen to God and to spend time with him. Even retired people today tell me that they are just as busy as when they were working, sometimes even busier. Yet when we seek the Lord and rest in him, we do indeed have a peace that passes all understanding. And who knows what the Lord is doing? Only he knows what he's doing in this pandemic. But it has slowed us down a little bit, maybe to take stock, to start thinking about our spiritual lives. Is God really my shepherd? Am I following him? Am I being his sheep? Am I doing everything I can to get to know him better? You know, because even in lockdown, we're stuck in our homes. Yes, we can't do activities that we used to do, but we will find things to get in the way. We busy ourselves. Now, it's great. Maybe you spring clean. Maybe you've painted things. That's fantastic. Maybe things have got cleaned, whatever it is, that's great. But have we used the extra time for the Lord. That challenges me when I think back over the last 10 weeks. Are we using the time for Him? He is our peace, and He wants us to have that rest in Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A shepherd would often dam up streams so that sheep could go across safely and drink, or cross without fear of being pulled away by the current. The Lord does the same for us. Sometimes He's got to dam up those floodwaters so we can have that rest. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. I think it's a very interesting phrase. He makes me. That is an indication that we don't often like to be in those green pastures or quiet waters. We are stubborn sheep. We like to be busy and to go our own merry way. But the Lord will make us lie down because He knows that's what we need. Why would we want to live self-service lives when God is a full service God who does it for us? So who is the Lord who's more than enough for His people? Verse 3, the Lord who heals, the Lord who heals, He restores my soul. Is that not a promise? He and He alone is able to do this. The shepherd knows each individual sheep. He knows what medicine to give them and when. That when we spend time getting to know Him in His word, our souls see their need for Him and are made new in Jesus Christ. Our souls are made new. They're set free from disobedience and rebellion against God. They are brought near into a sheepfold. For the Christian, how do we know when our souls need restoring? Well, I think that's when we lose our sense of direction, our sense of hope, our sense of purpose. When these things start to happen, our souls need restoring. A healthy soul is anchored in Christ with a direction rooted in His paths and His ways, with a hope fixed in heaven. When we lose this sense of God and who He is, when we fail to ponder anew what the Almighty can do, as the hymn says, we need our souls restoring. Do you need that today? Do you need the Lord to work so powerfully again in your life to remind you of His love, to remind you of His grace, to remind you of His loving disciplinary care on you when you stray? What a joy it is then to know that the Lord is a God who heals. Are you weary in your Christian life today? Well, rest in Him. Go to Him. Ask Him for healing. Ask Him to restore your soul. Physically, when we get to the end of the day, we need to lie down and recharge our physical batteries. It's the same spiritually. We need to rest in God and who He is. So who is the Lord that's more than enough for His people? Verse 3 again, we see that the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Christians know we are not saved by good works. We know that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But so often, we can fall into the trap in our own relationships with God to base it on works. And we've been seeing this as we've been going through Philippians, that the false teachers were adding to the gospel and adding works-based things in to that very thing. That kind of thing, you know, the kind of thing when you've missed your quiet time and you start to believe that your day won't go well. Or when you're ill and unable to attend the prayer meeting, you start to think things are crumbling and you're going to despair for not going to the prayer meeting, you're all guilty. Or even when something happens in life, such as an illness, you may start to blame God and feel that He does not love us. But none of this is true. The Lord is our righteousness. Now, yes, we have our quiet times. Yes, we should go to the prayer meeting. But the world's not going to end if you miss your quiet time that morning because something else happened. That's to base your relationship with God on legalism, on works. It's what we have in grace by faith, not by works. We stand before the Father, perfect in Jesus. in his righteousness. He gives us that perfect standing before himself, and nobody and no thing can take that away. And it gives us the freedom to live out our lives before him, because he has already counted us as righteous in his sight. He, the Lord, is our righteousness. I love that hymn by Robert Murray McShane, Jehovah Sakenu, which actually means the Lord is our righteousness. Verse 4, I think it is, he says, it's not coming to me. I'll come back to that. It's not coming back to me. The Lord is our righteousness. We stand in that relationship with him alone. He gives us it. Do you see the all-encompassing grace of God here? He provides a way that can never be moved or shaken or taken away. If our salvation was based on good works, that would be awful to live the Christian life. How many works do you have to do to be saved? Does a good deed outweigh a bad deed? And all these other crazy questions that come in. You'd never be able to know you were going to heaven either by that. But this is not the way. God has planned that we should stand before him in the perfect righteousness of Christ. This makes being saved for those who love and believe in Christ a certainty. A certainty. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me. I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Sakenu, my Saviour must be. I remembered it. That's the great truth. When grace, the undeserved grace and merit of God, wakes us up to these truths, we don't search inside of ourselves for the answer. We run to him. We cling to him. And we're to do that every day of our lives. So who is the Lord who's more than enough for his people? In verse 4, we see that he is the Lord who is there. He is present. He's with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. Death here is a shadow for the Christian, because our joy in knowing that when we fall asleep in Jesus, we go past through that valley and we wake up immediately in the presence of the Lord. That's a wonderful truth for the Christian. And all the way through, his rod and staff are there. His rod to deal with the enemies. His staff to bring us back on the track when we need it, when we have strayed. So who is the Lord who's more than enough for his people? Verse 5, the Lord is our banner, the one who rides out in front of his people. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. In times of war, soldiers would flock to the banner of their sovereign. And here Christians are called to flock to the banner of God. No matter the enemy, no matter if we're besieged on all sides, we have somewhere to turn. We can turn to our God. He will not only graciously answer our calls for help, but he actually bids us come to his presence, where he provides a feast of eternal joys forever at his Father's right hand. So who is the Lord who's more than enough for his people? Verse 5 again, the Lord is our sanctifier. The image is of the anointing of our heads with oil, probably an image to set apart or to make holy. We are saved from the minute we first accept Jesus, but then the Lord does a work in us until we get to heaven, making us more like Jesus and perfecting us. I often explain it to the children like this, that when God created Adam and Eve, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's a perfect jigsaw. It's all together. There's no missing pieces. The image is perfect. But when we sinned, the jigsaw puzzle was all disarranged, and some of it was torn, and the image is all marred. But what God does is, through Jesus, he restores that image. And the image that is restored is Jesus, a perfect representation of him. And on the basis of all of this, the psalmist ends in a very assured note. Surely, certainly, definitely, Our cups must surely overflow with joy at the thought of having this very God as our shepherd. With our loving shepherd, our cup is never half empty. It's not half full. It's not even full, but it's full and running over. It's running over. Such is his love and care for those who are his own. He loves us so very much that he didn't even spare his own son. How also along with him then will he not graciously give us all things? It's well said in verse 6, goodness and love will follow me. Not they might, but they will. If the Lord is our shepherd who goes ahead of us, then goodness and mercy or goodness and love are his two faithful sheepdogs that chase behind us and drive us to him. They drive us ahead to our shepherd. His goodness drives us to him. His love drives us to him. And with such a God, who is more than enough for his people, who cares for us spiritually, physically, emotionally, we can have the tremendous assurance that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Philippians last Thursday, we considered having our eyes fixed on the finish line, the call of being called upwards in Jesus, heavenwards, the prize, to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. Well, this psalm tells us to keep our eyes fixed on our dwelling place, and it's with our Father forever in heaven. If you're a Christian today, this is your God. This is your shepherd. We have eternity with him to look forward to forever, but in the here and in the now, he is leading us onward, and all we need to do is follow. May the Lord seal his word to our hearts and to our minds, and may his be the glory and the praise. Amen.